Welcome, rebels of the Sherpa Lution. Today's episode is called, Three Short Interviews, One Short Sherpa. It's three very different podcasters interviewed by one idiot with no talent. Strangely enough, I won't get fired for saying that. I just read the script, collect my fake paycheck, and go to my fake home. Mr. Bruce, will you please sound the gong?
Welcome to Too Many Podcasts, the podcast about podcasts. Now, podcasting from the Sherpa Chalet on Mount Podcastia, he's your host, Jim, the podcast Sherpa.
Thank you, Mr. Bruce, and welcome to Too Many Podcasts, the podcast about podcasts and so much more. And we've got a lot of podcasts to cover today.
Who's our guest today, Sherpa?
Glad you asked. It's not just one guest today. It's not just two. It is three guests today. Whew, I was a busy Sherpa. First guest, his name is John Molyneux. He hosts a podcast called Success Breeds Success. Our second guest is a guy named Mark Beer, and he hosts a podcast called The Latent Cassette, which is about movies. And our final guest of this show is a guy named Mr. Holiday, Mark Holiday, host of My Worst Holiday. So three very different podcasts and three very different interviews. Well, sort of. I mean, if you take me out of it, but I just ask the same questions. I don't know. And yes, I was in a different room for the Sherpa Chalet for each of those interviews. I was just all over. It's amazing how I have microphones all over the chalet. All right, let's get started with our first interview with Mr. John Molyneux. Hi, Rebels. We are jumping across the pond today. You know why? Because success breeds success. And that is the podcast of my guest today. His name is John Molyneux. And he's right here on Zoom. And it's later in the day, so hopefully your morning has gone better than mine has so far. Welcome to the show, John.
It's an absolute pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me on the show.
How did you get started in podcasting?
That's a good question. I kind of discovered it about 12 months ago, I think it was. And I just thought, I'm going to have a go at this because I've been doing a lot of video content for mainly for LinkedIn. So I was getting quite confident at filming myself and speaking on camera and stuff like that. And I thought, I quite like the idea of speaking to people and interviewing people. So originally, I actually went under a different name. It was going to be John's Journey. But then I got a few episodes in. I was only doing monthly episodes to start with. I got a few episodes in and I thought, it needs something a bit more catchy than that. It's not quite, it's not a name that I think has that kind of X factor. So I had a long think about it and I thought the success breeds success sounds much better.
You are known as the Sales Samurai. Your show's originally started in the business world, but you're kind of branching out now.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's a good point. I mean, it still has the same theme, but what I quickly realized is the Success Breeds Success show. I don't have to be specifically aiming at entrepreneurs, totally just entrepreneurs or business owners. I thought, I was also speaking to like coaches and speakers, but I've also started opening up to kind of like actors and stuff like that. Because as long as you can, there's like a blueprint, isn't it, for success? I mean, what it'll cross over into different sort of channels and different sort of skill sets and stuff like that. So I thought, well, let's just be a bit more broad in the people that I interview.
What was your feeling on some of the people that you've interviewed in, either whether entrepreneurs or people in the entertainment business? Do you think they really had like a mapped out plan, or they kind of ended up in a spot and they just kind of ran with it?
Yeah, that's a good question, Jim. And I'd say for what seems to be like something that comes up over and over again is just sort of that grit, isn't there? There's that determination there and dedication to whatever it is that spark. I think you have to have a spark in a certain direction, isn't it? With myself, it was sales and martial arts. So what I molded the two together and boom, that was where the Sales Samurai came from, because I was studying martial arts fanatically, but I was also studying sales fanatically as well. So I just blended the two together.
Yeah, it's funny because it sounds like two completely different things, but I guess mentally
you've got that same focus.
There are so many similarities. I mean, you've got like focus, you've got dedication, you've got patience. I mean, you've got to be patient with people when they're giving you all these objections, or they're not calling you, but they're giving you shit, if you want to put it that way. And you've got to be kind of really sort of focused and disciplined. And a lot of the skills and the ideas and the things cross over really well between the two.
Tell me a little about your upbringing in the UK. How did you kind of end up to where you're doing all this and you're doing coaching and podcasting and everything like that? What happened beforehand?
Oh, well, I probably had a pretty much similar upbringing to most. I was a bit of a rebel in my teens and partying and raving and stuff. Well, the rave scene was big over here at the time, and we was always going, getting twisted up in all the nightclubs and stuff. But in my early 20s, I realised that the jobs that I were doing weren't really doing much for me, just sort of labouring work. And like, I tried electrical work, like being an electrician for a while, but I never fully qualified in it, and it just never worked out. So in my early 20s, I decided to join the army, and I went into the army for a few years. That didn't work out for a career. I decided it wasn't to be a full career for me, but I did do it. I did serve a few years, and I did take some skills and some sort of life skills, if you want to put it that way. Don't get me wrong, there were some hindrances as well. There was a lot of sort of like negative things that came out of it, but there was also a lot of positive things that came out of it as well.
I'm going to ask you a question that I guess there's probably not one pure answer to it, but I guess it's more an opinion question. What do you think constitutes success for a person?
Well, I mean, it all depends on what you view success to be. I mean, nowadays it does seem to be material things, doesn't it? But I mean, and the way that life is now, it is part of everyday life to be successful. I think money is part of that. It kind of ties in with it, doesn't it? But I think people can be successful and comfortable. You don't have to be minted like millionaires, or you don't have to be completely like rolling in it. But I think it is kind of attached to it. But I think as long as you're happy in what you're doing, I think a successful person can be somebody that's really passionate about what they're doing. And they love getting up and they love doing what they do. So I think you can be successful without being sort of minted as well.
Can you talk a little bit about your coaching sessions?
The coaching that I offer?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I mean, I haven't actually been focusing too much on that, and I haven't actually been promoting it, but I do offer kind of mainly phone calls. I don't have a specific coaching package that I offer or anything like that. But I do offer phone calls if people want sort of sales tips and stuff like that. So what I do is I offer like a half hour icebreaker. And if somebody wants to jump on the phone with me and see if we're a good fit and see if I can help them out, say, for example, they're struggling with cold calling, or they don't know how to build rapport with people, or whatever it might be to do with sales. If I can help them out, then we could look at some sort of coaching.
What do you think is the hardest thing that people encounter?
Well, I think a lot of it is kind of self-doubt. People tend to stay in the comfort zone. It's so easy to stay in that comfort zone. If you get to a stage where you're doing okay with your day-to-day job or whatever it is you're doing, you get in that sort of, stuck in that rut, don't you? You never want to push your boundaries and try things new. I think the people that have a lot more success are the people that are always challenging themselves and doing different things. Like, you look at entrepreneurs, they're always trying different things, aren't they?
That is a pretty universal thought too, especially with people in entertainment. They have to be able to know how to get themselves out there, and like with an actor, maybe not limit themselves to one kind of role, saying, well, okay, let's try doing this. You look at like an actor like Robert De Niro, where for many years he was always played a lot of dark, dramatic, maybe gangster, tough guy roles. And then all of a sudden he turned it around and started doing comedies, and it worked. Even though he was still the tough guy, he knew how to be funny, and he reached a broader audience as well.
Absolutely. Well, it's adapting, isn't it? You're adapting to different environments. If you're sort of like you say, if you're only one tunnel vision and you're only one track mind, you're only going to have a certain amount of opportunities. But if you're open-minded and you branch out to different areas, more opportunities are available.
What do you feel is like the best advice that you can give people when they want to get ahead in life?
Just don't put yourself down, and don't sort of doubt yourself. I think you've got to start to believe in your own capabilities, because everybody has their own skill sets or fortes. I mean, no two people are the same, but everybody has something that they're good at, don't they? I believe that anyway. You just have to find it. So if you're out there and you're doing something that's making you miserable day to day, you don't want to go. I believe that you need to stop doing that. If you're monotonously going to work every day and you hate it and you really have to force yourself to do that, you need to stop.
Yeah, and that ties into what you were just saying about stepping outside of your comfort zone. You get too used to doing this and, you know, it just becomes a routine and you don't think past that.
It does. I mean, to me, that's not living your full life. That's not living your purpose, is it? That's just existing, isn't it? If you're just waking up every day and just doing something because you feel you have to because your boss wants you to or whatever it is. I really do think you only live once, don't you? That's what they reckon. So make the most of it.
Now, out of the shows that you've been doing, were there any particular episodes that really kind of struck you as, wow, this person really grabs the concept of being successful?
Yeah. Oh, wow. I mean, I've, like I say, I'm roughly around the 20 episode mark now, and I've spoken to some fantastic people. Some of them are better known than others, but they're all equally fantastic. I just interviewed Tony Watley. He's a multimillionaire now, but he started off quite humbly, but he sort of tried different things. He's a side hustle millionaire. He's got his own podcast as well called 365 Driven. So he was a really good guest. But I've also spoken to a number of us, including Sean Kanan. So he's a Hollywood actor. He was the villain in Karate Kid 3. So yeah, quite a mixture of different skill sets. I had another one called Natalia Fuchovsky. She was my very first guest, and she's a LinkedIn expert. So she can help you with branding and sort of getting well known and building your brand with LinkedIn.
That actually brings up an interesting question. Now, LinkedIn, and we have a couple of other networks for entrepreneurs and business people and even the entertainment people as well. How well do you think that they work? Do you think after a while it kind of loses its effectiveness, or it's always good to just put yourself out there so you know what avenues are there?
What do you mean with social media platforms?
Right.
Yeah. That's another good question, and it's a difficult one. I think they kind of have life expectancy. I mean, you look at platforms like Instagram, they tend to peak and then they sort of level off again, don't they? And I think LinkedIn is very much on the up. I think that if you was going to join a professional or put some, so we say, invest into sort of advertising or building a social media presence, I would recommend LinkedIn because I think that's got massive potential. There was a lot of talk about TikTok, but Gary Vee loves TikTok, but I'm not 100% on it. I think there's been a lot of bad stuff with it being linked to China and stuff. I don't know what's going on behind the scenes with TikTok, but I'd avoid that. Facebook is another good one, especially personally. I think Facebook groups can be very, very helpful and just, yeah, good for so many different. I mean, I with podcasting, for example, there's lots of different podcast groups on there, so you can promote your podcast and get tips and stuff like that. So, yeah, I like Facebook for that. And also people are very successful on Facebook for getting clients and Facebook ads and stuff like that as well. So it all depends what you're looking for. I've also heard that Pinterest is another great platform if you get the right person to work on Pinterest with and build your Pinterest for you. But yeah, I'd say it all depends on what you're doing as well and what your business is. I think different platforms are better for different things.
And going along with what you're saying, with depending on what your field is, you also want to be able to attract the right audience too.
Yeah.
You want people who are going to be interested in maybe your product or helping you advance, not just people who are like, well, I have a Facebook page and you have a Facebook page and okay. And maybe
let's be friends
every 6 months or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, you have to specifically target a certain audience, don't you, if you're going to use it for business purposes. But yeah, like I said, most platforms are pretty good. It all depends on what you are. I mean, if I was in sort of DIY or furniture or something, I'd be most inclined to use Pinterest. But if it was kind of if I'm an entrepreneur or business to business type stuff, then it'd be LinkedIn. So it all depends on your business itself.
Okay. I'm going to throw a tricky one your way. Let's say you have a crystal ball in front of you, John, and you're going to tell me or what you think beyond social media. Do you think there's going to be a next wave of a way to reach out to people? Or do you think we've kind of hit that watermark?
Well, to be honest, I think this is the next thing, isn't it? If anything, I think it's going to be bigger than social media before you know it. Podcasting, I think this is the next big thing. If it's not already bigger than social media, I think it's getting that way. I mean, you look at like people like Joe Rogan and stuff like that, and the big names like Tim Ferriss and stuff like that. So yeah, I do genuinely, and the amount of people I've spoken to that are podcast hosts that have it as an integral part of their business, and it sort of makes it so much more, it functions better, should we say.
It's funny when you talk about with podcasting, when you talk about guys like Joe Rogan and Tim Ferriss, and I think a lot of people forget when they're starting out doing podcasts is these are guys who've been doing it a while. They've craft to the point where they can do it in their sleep, where other people, you get to a point where you're still trying to find your voice, and you can't copy them word for word, because then you don't come off as authentic. So you have to use your own voice and give it your own style.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's like with anything. I mean, I do the same thing with sales as I do with podcasting. I mean, I study a lot of different salespeople, the sort of big names like Zig Ziglar's and Tom Hopkins, Grant Cardone, these kind of people, study all them. But I always put my own unique personality into it. So it's the same with podcasting. I listen to different podcasts and I see how they do things. But I put my own personality into my podcast, and that's what makes it unique. That's what makes it my podcast, isn't it?
You've helped me bring up the segue into my next question. What are the podcasts that you like to listen to?
Podcasts I like to listen to. Well, I've mentioned Joe Rogan and Tim Ferriss, but they're very obvious, aren't they? So maybe ones that aren't quite as big or known. I do like Underdog Empowerment. That's Zachary Babcock. He's actually going to be my guest very shortly. He's done really well. He's worked wonders. He's got like a six-figure podcast marketing agency now, and he basically started from scratch. He even served like 5 years in prison and came out. So he's kind of a really good success story and really interesting guy. So I'm interviewing him in a few weeks. So Underdog Empowerment, that's his. Like I said, I've mentioned 365 Driven with Tony Watley. That's another good one that I like to listen to. But there are a lot of more, even really quiet ones, like smaller ones that I listen to. I just kind of chop and change. I can't think of any more off the top of my head, though.
Another question just kind of popped into my head. Do you advise people what they shouldn't be doing? I know sometimes, you know, when you listen to podcasts like that, people think they get into that kind of get rich quick mindset, and it's not really the way to go.
Yeah, with recording podcasts or building a podcast, you mean, or starting a podcast,
or anything really with entrepreneurship, or just kind of.
Oh right, yeah. Well, I'd say you need to focus on your brand. I think whatever you're doing, you need to build yourself a brand, because people need to be aware of what you are doing or who you are. I think a lot of things nowadays are personal, so they need to get to know the real you. You need to be genuine, and you need to come across as it you want to help people, whatever it is you're doing. That definitely is important.
And not get sucked into things where they're promising you instant wealth overnight.
Well, exactly. Like you mentioned, the podcast, for example, don't get too greedy. I was considering sponsorships and stuff like that, but unless you really believe in that sponsor, don't go sort of hunting for them, because it probably won't work out. If you really believe in a product that you use yourself or something, then you manage to get a sponsorship deal, then that might work better, because you already kind of believe in the product. But don't just sort of go out hungry to make a little bit of money for your podcast. Just do your podcast for you.
Right. And I guess if, like you said, with a sponsorship, if it's a product that you use, your commitment to it probably comes across. And for the sponsor themselves, they're saying, well, listen to John, listen to how he's talking about our product. This is exactly what we want representing us.
Exactly. Well, there's a thing in sales, especially if you wouldn't own the product yourself, or you don't, it's even better if you own it yourself, but if you would not own it yourself, then you can't sell it. You can't believe in a product that you wouldn't own yourself, can you?
That is very true. I'll have a hard time selling prom dresses, but wait a minute, maybe yeah, not.
I wouldn't even attempt it.
Okay, John, we have a portion of the show, and it's called Shameless Self-Promotion.
Shameless Self-Promotion.
And that is where you can let all the listeners and the rebels out there and the potential sales samurais know how to get in touch with you and how to follow you.
Right, yeah, there's a few different ways. I mean, I do have my own Facebook group that's called International Entrepreneurs and Coaching Community. I have my own website, which is callstars.com. So that's CALLSTARZ.com. Well, we call it Z, but I believe it's Z over there, isn't it? And yeah, so that's, you can find out more about what I do sales-wise on the website. But I do actually have a Sales Samurai YouTube channel. So if you just type in The Sales Samurai, you can find me on YouTube. What I've started doing is, it started off with just a few sales tips. So I did like 60-second sales tips. But now what I'm doing is I'm doing sales tips and martial arts demonstrations. So I've done a few nunchucks. I've done some of the sort of punching and striking. I will also be doing like self-defense stuff. And I'll get somebody to help me and we'll go do demonstrations as well. So the idea of that is that you're getting your sales tips and techniques and knowledge, but you're also getting martial arts in there as well.
I love the combination. That is so cool.
Well, thanks. I'm glad you appreciate it. Yeah.
Okay. So his name is John Molyneux. Thank you so much. Success Breeds Success is the name of the podcast. And if you're looking to be successful, this is the guy you want to listen to. Thanks for coming. Yeah.
Appreciate it. Yeah, and if you wanted to find the show, sorry, it's The Success Breed Success Show, and that's available on most platforms, Spotify, Apple, you name it. It's on most. iHeart is big over there as well, isn't it? iHeart Radio. Mm-hmm. So you can find it on there as well.
Take care, John. Thank you.
Thank you. Been an absolute pleasure, Jim. Cheers. Speak to you again soon.
Hello there, Rebels. We are in the Be Kind Rewind edition of Too Many Podcasts. And tonight I am speaking with a guy named Mark Beer, who hosts a podcast called The Latent Cassette. And it's about classic movies, and he goes into deep dives on all of them, and we're here to get to know him a little bit. So how you doing, Mark?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing very well. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I'm from Pennsylvania. Grew up watching lots of movies. I grew up during the 90s, so I watched a lot like Power Rangers, Batman, the animated series, X-Men, big sports fan, Pirates and Steelers, stuff like that.
So how did you get into your podcast?
I was listening to podcasts, what were called podcasts on YouTube with video and stuff like that. I would listen to some that were by just fans, and I thought, well, why not give it a try? I talked to like my brother and cousin. We always talked about it and never did it. So one day I just decided to, why not try it and see what happens?
So you're a lover of older movies, I take it.
Yeah, that's how I got on the movies, older movies. I thought about doing one about wrestling, too, because I'm a big wrestling fan, especially 80s and 90s stuff, but there's so many of those out there, so, and I watch a lot of movies, so I figured that would be the easiest to do, but still a lot of work.
And a couple of wrestlers ended up in some of the movies in 80s and 90s anyway, and even today.
Yeah, I covered a couple wrestling movies, the first one Hulk Hogan did, and one that came out around 2000.
What was the first movie that Hogan did?
No Holds Barred was like the first movie he starred in after like Rocky III, after he had the Rocky III cameo.
Right, because he was Thunder Lips?
Yes. Yeah. But that one was around 89, and then one Ready to Rumble, which was done by Turner, who owned the WCW, which was a rival wrestling promotion in the 90s. They did one, and it was interesting. Let's put it that way.
Do you have a special era that's your favorite of movies? You said mostly 90s movies. That was your thing?
Probably mid-90s movies. Like if I'm looking at movies that like I was a fan of when I was a kid, maybe like the Free Willy movies, or you know, the Batman movies, the ones with Keaton and Val Kilmer, stuff like that. I'd say mid-90s for my peak nostalgia as a child, probably.
Did you ever get into older movies like from the 70s or 80s or even prior to that? Or
I'm a big fan of 80s slasher movies, Nightmare on Elm Street, Friday the 13th, which this past summer I reviewed all the Friday the 13th movies. I did a couple episodes with my cousin, and Night of the Living Dead, of course, being from where I'm from, you learn lots about the heritage of making movies. They made a lot of movies in Pittsburgh. Night of the Living Dead was made there, Dawn of the Dead, stuff like that. So we have a pretty cool movie history here.
Didn't they make Dawn of the Dead in like a mall or something like that?
Yeah, the Monroeville Mall.
You said slasher movies were basically your big genre, or it really just kind of jumps around?
It jumps around. I'm a fan of all kinds of stuff, but right now, a favorite horror genre, I would say slasher for sure. I'm not big into like the Paranormal Activity or the Conjuring movies. I rather watch like a cheesy 80s slasher any day.
Let's hear like your three favorite movies and maybe why they're your favorite movies.
Any movies, any era?
Yeah, or? Yeah, whatever. Just the ones that are your personal favorites.
Well, The Dark Knight. That's probably my favorite. Because Heath Ledger's Joker performance, and that kind of gave me nostalgia for the 89 one that I grew up watching, seeing Batman and the Joker, and I mean, it's very well done. Dazed and Confused, I'd say, is one of my favorites because it reminds you of a time, high school, where you could be carefree and you were just worried about where the party was and not all the adult stuff that comes with life or whatever. And say The Mummy is one of those, the one with Brandon Fraser from 99, because I was 10 when it came out, so I was at just the right age, and it still holds up pretty good, I think. Some of the effects are a little cheesy, but it's kind of one of those movies where it can make me transport in time, let's say.
Are you a sequel lover, or do you kind of like stay with the first one and say, well, the first one was always the best?
I guess it depends on how well it's done. Well, like say The Dark Knight's a sequel. I like it better than Batman Begins, but I like Batman Begins, and it's funny because I started on a lot of sequels, like T2. I saw Terminator 2 before I saw the first Terminator. And like the Friday the 13th and stuff like that, I generally saw the sequel before the original. I think the original is generally always better, but sometimes a sequel cannot perform it.
Did you ever do any acting or anything, or are you just basically a movie lover?
Just basically a movie lover. I thought about it, but I guess I was always kind of too shy to do it. And I trained to try and be a wrestler, but I came down on my shoulder and didn't have any, medical insurance or anything at that time. And I was basically being taught by like backyard wrestlers. So it was kind of like, wasn't getting any kind of certified training. So it's kind of like, I don't want to call them scrubs, but you know what I mean? They're not, probably shouldn't be training people.
Yeah, that could be a little risky there, Mark.
Yeah, I like the guy, so I don't want to track him, but...
Okay. What's your ideal movie night? Do you like going to movie theaters? Do you prefer just kind of a quiet night at home and popping on, you know, pay-per-view or whatever, or a streaming service?
I still like to buy physical media. I know streaming services is the way everything's going, but I actually live less than a mile down the road from a drive-in. Well, probably a little more than a mile, but I drive in right down the road where you drive your car in and watch. I know those aren't all over the country, but where I live, we have like three of them in a probably about a 40 or 50 mile span. So I like going to the drive-in. Did that a lot as a kid. So
I guess a lot of kids probably remember their parents taking them and they were in their pajamas and they hope that they fall asleep in the back seat and then see the movie and then take them home and throw them in bed.
Yeah, I generally always stayed up. Sometimes I'd fall asleep, but...
So do you think that movie theaters are kind of going to go the way of the dinosaur, just between COVID and just the way that movies are accessible to us now?
I hope not, but I could see it happening someday because they put I saw whenever everything started happening with COVID, they put a lot of their movies on $20 for, you know, rent this movie or buy this movie, whatever. And they were ones that had been in theaters recently or were in theaters. And like I said, I'm not a fan of like buying digital media, but like, someone like my wife, she'd be like, no, I'm not paying $20 to sit home and watch it. Some people will. I guess it depends. You know, you make it an event to go to the movies, get out of the house and do something. So I would like to see it the way it was, you know, always was, going to the movies and stuff like that.
It's funny because I think a lot of people today, even like younger people that really kind of start getting going to the movies, like usually like when they're teenagers and they can go on their own or whatever, or their parents drop them off. They don't probably understand that whole experience that like guys like us who were a little bit older. I mean, I'm probably a lot older than you, but that whole thing of being surrounded by people and all, you know, laughing together and like a crowded theater just breaking into applause or what have you, you know, it's a whole different shared type of experience as opposed to just sitting there and watching it on Netflix by yourself.
Yeah. And that's, it can make it, I mean, also, if you get the wrong crowd, like I've been in movies with with lots of high school kids where I've been a little older and they're screaming, you know, with the screen and texting and talking. That can get a little old, but like when went to see The Force Awakens, whenever it came out, you know, everybody was clapping at certain points and, you know, it was a collective experience, like going to a concert or a sporting event, sort of.
Talk a little bit about your podcast.
Well, like I said, I review movies mostly from the VHS era is what I try and stick to. And I saw the VHS, they stopped making them in about 2008. but I try to stick to like the early 2000s. And, you know, before that, like I'm going to do Night of the Living Dead, which is 68, which is way before, not way, I don't know how far before, but it's before VHS. I want to jump around and look at different important movies. And I'm thinking about doing a thing where maybe I'll review like a newer movie. And if it's a reboot or a remake, compare it to the old one, see how that goes. Going to try some different things.
Have you had any sort of opinions on remakes of like classic movies, or you like sticking with the originals on that?
Well, I think if it's done well, like I know it was a miniseries, but it's hard to say that the new It movies that came out the last few years, that those aren't better than the Tim Curry one from the 90s. I mean, well, I guess better depending on what, you know, what your opinion of better is, but like the Halloween remake and the Friday the 13th remake, the Nightmare on Elm Street remake, I didn't think those were very good at all. Well, I thought the Friday the 13th one was all right, but not really the Nightmare of the Halloween one. I like some of Rob Zombie's older movies, but not all his characters have to be white trash. I don't know. Have you ever seen Rob Zombie movies?
I can't say that I have.
Well, his characters are always mother effing this and that, and which, you know, I swear to, but not like that. That it's just an absurd level. But I guess it depends on the reboot, you know, who does it. It gets a little overdone because I think they're on their third Spider-Man, and the first one came out in 2002, which was 17 years ago. I guess it doesn't feel like it was that long ago, but I guess it was. But I think it gets a little overdone sometimes.
They kind of go to the well once too often.
Yeah, I think so.
Regardless of what type of movie you're watching, what makes a good movie for you? What makes it enjoyable?
A good story, and not little like continuity errors. Sometimes I have OCD, you know, and can pick up on things, and that can kind of ruin it. But if there's a good story and the characters make me care, I mean, bad acting. I'm not an actor. I don't know how hard it is. I'm sure it's very hard. But some movies you watch, and it's like it's hard to. Yeah, you can't. I don't believe what they're doing. You know what I mean? It's unbelievable to me, and they talk like wood, but.
You want to be able to kind of suspend your disbelief and believe that this person is really a pirate or really a superhero or.
Yeah, suspension of disbelief.
What's a good snack for you for that at the movies?
Snow caps. Those have always been my go-to.
Ooh. Interesting choice. Usually everybody says popcorn, but snow caps, yes.
Well, I get popcorn too sometimes, but the problem is when you sit there through the previews, and especially if you get there half an hour before the previews even start, and then you have 15 minutes of previews, you're just munching on that popcorn the whole time. So
that's true. And it's kind of mindless eating after a while. What do you think would improve the movie going experience for people?
Well, I know the prices are a little outrageous. I don't know what you can really do to improve that. I mean, unless like the local drive-in to me, it's $8 and you get two movies, which is about the price of a ticket where I live. I think the price of a movie ticket's $9.25, which if there's two of you, that's almost $20, which isn't too bad. But then when you get your food and stuff, it can get expensive. I don't think there's anything wrong with the movie-going experience, but I mean, sometimes you get some of those crazy lines. Like, I remember when The Force Awakens came out, and it was right before Christmas, and the line was outside. Like, you know, that's how crazy it was.
Do you like those movie theaters that have the reclining seats and everything like that, or do you just like it nice and simple?
I like it simple. I don't mind the reclining seats, but then it's easier to fall asleep, especially if, you know, you had a hard day working or whatever.
Yeah, it almost kind of takes away from the movie in a weird kind of way, because sometimes you're just too relaxed, and then you might not focus on what's in front of you on the screen. Where with some of those old movie theater seats, you're forced to sit up straight, and you know your eyes are pointed at the screen. There's not as many distractions.
Yes, definitely.
And I guess if with the recliners, if you're looking around and seeing other people sleeping, and that becomes kind of funny, and that also distracts you as well.
Yeah. We have one theater that has those, and there's another theater that has some on the floor, but most of the rest of the seating is what they call stadium seating. Mm-hmm. So don't have too many options for those, which kind of helps.
When you're not reviewing movies, what podcasts do you like to listen to?
I like to listen to some wrestling ones. The Lapsed Fan, which is done by a couple fans. That's like 8, 9, sometimes 10 hours on specific events and stuff. I like to listen to that one. That one takes up a lot of time. There's one, Hammond Spam Retro Review. There are a couple guys from Alabama that talk about older video games, like Super Nintendo games, stuff like that. I listen to mostly wrestling podcasts. I'm just a big wrestling nerd, I guess, but that's mostly what I listen to.
Okay.
If I listen to movie review podcasts, then I kind of judge myself, which I did listen to movie review podcasts a lot before I started mine. But then when I go back and listen to them again, I felt like I judged what, you know, myself against them. And it just kind of got weird for me. So
I can get that, because you don't want to feel like you're imitating somebody. You want to just really do your own brand of a show.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Okay. Well, and speaking of your show, we have a portion of the show called Shameless Self-Promotion.
Shameless Self-Promotion.
And this is where you can let our listeners know about your show and if they can follow you on social media or get in touch with you or any other information that you'd like to share with them.
Yeah, the Light and Cassette podcast on Twitter, on Facebook. I believe that's all I have it on. You can find it on Anchor, which is like the platform I use to distribute it. You can find it on Apple Podcasts. You can find it on Spotify, Podbean, pretty much anywhere you can find podcasts, you can find it.
Okay. And when do new episodes come out?
They usually come out about twice a week because I have started interviewing people. So usually the regular episodes, about 7 to 14 days, sometimes a little longer.
Okay. And they'll hear your reviews, and what other kind of stuff can they hear in your show?
Well, any behind-the-scenes stuff, how the movie came together, as long as there's information out there, which I use documentaries and stuff like that to kind of research and things like that. And sometimes if it's a movie I have real fond memories of, like the Mummy movie, for instance, I talk about, you know, my memories of the summer of 99 a lot, and like in Jaws, about how they're smoking in the hospital and, you know, just different things about the time periods that are different from the times today, which is quite a bit.
That's for sure. All right. So his podcast is The Late and Cassette. His name is Mark Beer. Mark, thank you so much for coming on the show.
No, thank you. I appreciate it.
Attention, rebels of the Sherpolution. Today's podcast is being brought to you by Audible. You can get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/Sherpa. There are over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Hello there, Rebels. You know, we can all recall some of the best of times, maybe a special date, the day you got married, a meeting that may have been very productive and made you a lot of money, a vacation that was to die for with photos that you will treasure for the rest of your life. My guest today has a podcast that has absolutely nothing to do with that. His name is Mark Holliday, and he hosts a podcast called My Worst Holiday, and he interviews folks talking about a little bit not so comfortable positions and situations in their lives. So we're going to get to know him a little bit. So, Mark, welcome to the Sherpa Chalet.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jim, and how are you?
I'm doing quite well, sir. What gave you the inspiration for your podcast?
Well, I know he's going to get into this like later in the show, but you know, I'll save the name of the show till later. But I didn't know anything about podcasts or anything, and a guy I there's a crazy story about that guy too. But he's like, we got to talking. He says he's telling me about this podcast that he listens to. He's like, it's so funny. He's like, sometimes I have to pull over when I'm driving, because it's just so funny. And I'm like, oh, okay, that sounds great. So he gives me the name of it, and I binged the whole thing. And I mean, there was a lot of episodes. I binged the entire thing. It was hilarious. So after I was done, my appetite is wet, you know, and I want more. So I start looking on iTunes for things that they said was funny. And these are people who have like listeners, like lots of listeners. And I'm like riding the lawnmower and listening to these podcasts, and it turned out they all talked. So I'm like, well, I could do this. I'm like, I wonder how much it is to start a podcast. Well, it turns out for a single mic and a mixer, it's $100. So I said, okay, I'm down. I got the equipment and I thought of the concept and I just ran with it.
And I'm sure you got in plenty of interesting stories too.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, I'm well over 100 episodes now. And what my podcast is where people call in and they tell me their most funny or embarrassing life stories. And I got the idea of it from, I was listening to a radio show that we used to have around here. And actually it's a nationally syndicated thing where people were calling in, they were talking about horrifying Thanksgiving stories. And I thought, well, why don't we open this up a little bit? And I thought, you know, we can do it as like wedding, bachelor party, bachelorette party, just a party, you know, like anything, any kind of Christmas, Thanksgiving, Easter, you know, where dysfunctional families get crazy. And I thought this would be great. Well, from then it just kind of morphed into like any kind of crazy story that you might have. And so it started out as my worst holiday, but now it's just any worst story you can possibly come up with.
Okay. Did you have any personal favorites?
Oh my gosh. There's so many. Let me think. There's a gentleman named Sam McClain, and he has a podcast called Just Talking with Sam. And everything that this man says, like literally, I bring him in, I'll call him up, and I think I get to say hello. And then after that, it's just off to the races with this guy. He's talking about his old man used to play minor league ball down in the South. And he's an African-American gentleman. He didn't tell his son about this until like 20 years later when his son joined baseball. And he started talking to him about how, you know, you can sneak beer into the stadium if you put it in ginger ale bottles. He was like driving around the parking lot playing center field by John Fogerty with it cranked. Like, it's just embarrassing this kid. I'm not giving it even close to the justice of what this is. Another guy named Brian, he's a gay guy and he weighs absolutely nothing. And it was a year 2000. He had been wrapping packages on Christmas Eve. So he does what you do after you get unwrapping packages. He decided to go for a walk and smoke a joint. So he's walking down the road and a cop pulls him over because he said there's a suspicion of people stealing televisions in the area. Now, remember, this is the year 2000. So in 2000, think about how big of a TVs are. So I'm like, did they check your pockets? Anyway, the cop stops him, shakes him down. This guy weighs like 135 pounds. And anyway, they find his weed. And I don't know, anybody smoked weed back then. You knew everybody carried it around with those little Kodak film cases. And he had on a set of bibbies. And he had the weed in the center pocket of those bibbies. So the cop sees it, opens it up, sees the weed, goes, "You're going to jail," and puts it back in his pocket. So they puts him in the car, driving him, and he's so limber that he's able to take his hands from behind him that's handcuffed and bring them around and actually get like over his head and get into that little case. And he, with his tongue, he licks out the roach that's in there, eats it, puts it back. So they take him to the jail and the cop's like, "Yeah, I got him under suspicion of this. And yeah, I got him for weed." And they're like, "Great." You know, so they go over there, they check his pocket and it's empty. And they're like, "Hey, where's the weed?" He's like, "The what?" So that's just a couple little ones, but there's a ton. They all become a blur.
Do you have any incidents that may have happened to you that you'd probably share on the podcast if you were being called?
Yeah, I never really talk about myself too much. I talk about like some of my family, like my hippie uncle. My hippie uncle, his name is Terry. He's fantastic. He's a great guy. He was driving down the road one time, and this is back in the 70s. And I don't know if you know anything about cars.
Not too much.
He knew cars pretty well. So he sees this old couple just stalled alongside the road. And he pulls up behind them and he gets out and he's got the long hair. He's got this tore up denim jacket, you know, and he's looking pretty disheveled because he was and usually high. But he walks up and he's like, "What's going on with your car?" And they're like, "I don't know. We just got it back from the shop and it just died here on the side of the road." He says, "Well, let me take a look at it." So the guy pops the hood and Terry gets under there and he's looking around. And he pops the distributor cap. Now, the distributor cap is what gives the engine the electricity to fire the spark plugs. Well, okay, to make a connection, there's little things called tappets. And if you didn't have these tappets tightened down right, they wouldn't connect and they wouldn't complete the circuit to send the energy to the spark plugs to let it run. So he sees what it is. He goes, "I know exactly what's going on." So he goes back to his car. He gets a screwdriver and he has a nuts, bolts, spark plugs, stuff like that. And he takes them and he puts them in his hand and he takes a screwdriver and he goes in there and he looks under the hood and he goes, "Well, I see the problem." He goes, "You got all this action here you don't need." And he just starts throwing it over his shoulder as he's as he's underneath the hood. And the guy, the old guy, he's out the road. He's just picking up all these pieces. And then Terry tightens down the screw and he goes, Phil looks at the wife and he goes, start it up. So it fires right up. The guy's holding all these parts in his hand. He goes, those sons of, I'm going to go talk to them right now. All right, I'll see you later. And he just drives off. So I'm thinking about these old people going back to the shop to where they just fixed his car and him throwing down all these nuts and bolts going, what's this?
Probably when the guy drove away, probably when he went to beep his horn, the radio must have came on or something like that. Yeah, yeah. I remember the first time I took a flight, I was actually not young. I was probably about 25. And I went away on a cruise with a good friend of mine. And we'd gotten on the plane and I said to him, I said, you know, I'd never flown before. And he said, are you scared? I said, no. I said, I'm fine with it. I'm not nervous or anything like that. And he said, good. He said, there's really not much to be afraid of. But I said, yeah, I'm not worried. So we're sitting in the plane and we're starting to taxi down the runway. And, you know, you usually have the airport employee who's got the two bright orange things that are guiding the plane down the runway. Right. He's steering the plane and he's pointing it right towards the airport as if we were going to crash right into the building. And then all of a sudden he starts swinging over to the right like, no, 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 don't go this way. Go that way. So I'm looking at the window like thinking like, is this supposed to happen on a plane?
I was always afraid of that kind of thing. Oh, another guy I had, Schwarber, but he's got a podcast called Field of Screams and he's very funny. The guy was afraid of spiders. He got into the shower and this spider just appears like falling down from the ceiling on him. And he screams and just goes running out of the shower. And of course, like his feet's wet. He's got tile floor. So he's just like, he's like screaming and he's doing like, he almost looks like he's on ice trying to keep his balance, you know? And
right.
Yeah, he ended up busting his ass pretty bad. But he's a guy from around here. But he lives in Chicago now. And he has a White Sox podcast called Socks in the Basement. And he ended up going to Italy. And his daughter was jumping on the bed. And she was like 2 years old, somewhere around there. She ends up falling off the bed and hitting her head. And hitting it pretty hard. So she's obviously, you know, they think she's got a concussion or whatever. So they call the ambulance. And the ambulance shows up and they just blow through everything. So he's following them. And he gets pulled over by the cops. And the cops start, they don't speak any English, but they're, one speaks a little bit of English, but they start shaking him down for money. And like trying to get him to sign this thing saying, yeah, I'm guilty and all this other stuff. And anyway, they're what they basically want $50 American from him is what they want. And they said, well, you know, you can either pay this or you can sign this and go to court. Well, they don't read English, so he writes, you at the bottom of it. And they said, okay. And they're going to get a hold of him later. Anyway, he gets out of that. He goes to the hospital and he finally gets there and his daughter's asleep and he's just terrified. And he's just staying awake all night with her. And finally somewhere in the morning, he falls asleep and he wakes up and his daughter's jumping on the bed. you'd have to hear the whole story though. It was the way he said it was fantastic.
So what else had you ever done before podcasting, Mark?
Well, I did stand-up comedy for a brief stint. And that was the thing about getting into podcasting is because of where I live, I don't have a medium in my area to where I can actually do stand-up. And podcasting was a way for me to get my funny out there without having to do that. You know, so it was a good way for me to laugh and have guests and just have a great time.
You really needed an outlet after doing stand-up.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I did stand-up like years ago, and I just didn't have any outlet for it. You know, I mean, other than staying at a party and talking to people and, you mm-hmm. know, making them laugh, you know. Yeah, podcasting opened up a whole new genre for me, which I'm really appreciative to. Well, I was on a podcast a while back, and they're mm-hmm. great guys, too. Wesley Boggs is the guy's name. And the podcast is called Theft Mart, where they talk about people who have been, you know, had shoplifted or anything like that. And I really didn't have too much of a story. Well, have you ever thought about like how to steal something? Like you're not a thief, but you've thought about things, you know, like, well, I remember I was in a store one time and in my little hometown, everybody knew everybody. And I'm standing there, I'm looking at these school supplies and I'm like looking at like some folders and I'm like, man, I wonder how somebody would steal that. How could they possibly steal that? So I pick up the folder and again, I'm not about to steal anything, but I'm thinking about it. Like how would you do it? You know, kind of a James Bond kind of a thing, you know? So like I grab my shirt and I lift it up and I'm going to like thinking about like the sticking under it. And just as I do that, like the employee walks around the corner and sees me.
So even though you weren't thinking of doing it,
I'm not going to do it. Like, I'm really not going to do it. Yeah, I'm thinking about how would somebody get away with this? I have no intentions of stealing. I'm just wondering, how would somebody do this? Yeah, but trying to explain to the worker that, look, no, dude, no, I'm not going to steal it. I was just wondering, you know, like, how would you do that? I got escorted out of the store. Like, no, really, if I'm going to steal something, it's not a school folder, you know? Like, yes, this is the thing I want to steal. Out of everything in the store, I want a folder.
Did the police keep a close eye on you when August rolls around?
Yeah, exactly. I got my eye on you, Mark Williams.
In every Staples, beware this man walking down the street. Yeah, exactly.
I live in a town of 1,600 people, so it's like everybody's like, you know what, I caught Mark Williams doing. A folder? Why would he be stealing a folder? Like, I wouldn't.
Say, I was going to take notes on it and then print the notes out and put it in the folder.
Exactly.
To make it go full circle.
And this is how I got away with it.
So no appearances on Cops or American Most Wanted yet, right?
Yeah, exactly. How I Stole a Folder by M.W. Holliday.
First it was D.B. Cooper, and then there was M.W. Holliday.
And then M.W. Holliday, exactly. They'd still be looking for me to this day, me and my folder. If I could just make it to the border. If I could just make it to the border.
And there would be no jumping out of a plane involved.
Exactly. It would be a foot chase through. I come from a little town called Cuba in Illinois, and it's 1,600 people soaking wet. So, I mean, it's like I said, like everybody knew everybody. Like me and the worker there, like our parents hung out at the campground. So it's like, so yeah, put me in a lineup. It was Mark Williams. Him in his school folder.
Okay, so when you're not stealing back to school supplies,
yes,
are you listening to a lot of podcasts?
I do a few. You know, I don't get to do as many as I want to, but I'd love to. Oh, I just thought of another story, too. This one I called the Dombrowski Drift. It was this kid. I think it's Jason Dombrowski. I think that's his name. Can't remember his podcast. But his brother was older than him. His brother wanted him to drive him as a designated driver to a party. And he's like, well, he just basically wanted him to go. Actually, he just wanted him to go with him as like kind of moral support or whether at whatever at this party. So he goes to the party and his brother just gets hammered and he stays sober. And on the way home, like he's driving on the way home. You remember some cars still have it, but the emergency brake, like it's in between the passenger seat and the driver's seat.
Right. Yeah. Like that little lever that you flip up. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Well, sometimes like if you're sober and straight, you kick the wheel to the right and then you pull it to the left and you pull the handle and it spins the car around.
Okay.
So they're going home and the brother all of a sudden decides that he wants to drift. So he grabs the emergency brake and they're going 55 mile an hour down the road. First of all, you never do it at 55. He just reaches over, rips the emergency brake. Car just starts screaming sideways. He puts the emergency brake down, gets control of it, goes down into a ditch, comes back out of a ditch, and they get into a big argument and they get home and the brother passes out. Next morning they get up and he's eating cereal or something, and the brother comes up and the brother's just being real weird to him. And finally he's like, dude, what's your deal? He goes, do you realize you about killed us last night? So the brother that pulled the emergency brake is pissed off at the driver.
That can be a little scary.
Yeah, that can be very scary.
Okay, back to the other topic. So what podcasts do you like to listen to?
You know, I do listen to, you know, I like to listen to Dumb People Town with the Sklar Brothers. That's a really good one. That's where they talk, they look at news headlines, kind of related to what I do. Kind of, but it's pretty funny. I'm a really big fan of history. I listen to a lot of history podcasts. Dan Carlin's Hardcore History is probably my favorite. You got to wait about 6 months to listen to each episode, but each episode is about 4 hours long. I also listen to Ray Harris's The History of World War II. I listen to a lot of, like I said, like really serious, like history type things. Nathaniel Lloyd, Forgotten History. That one's really good. Tides of History. That one's fantastic as well.
Okay, yeah, you definitely like your history stuff. Do you consider yourself a history buff? I mean, is there any particular era in history that you're strong on?
There didn't used to be until I listened to Dan Carlin, and he did a whole series on World War One, and I had no idea how interesting World War One was. And if I have to pick something, World War One is probably one of the most interesting eras ever, because it started out as almost like the Franco-American or the Franco-Prussian wars. Like, it started off almost so basic, and then the technology over the 4 years leaped so exponentially that it was just a huge meat grinder. Everybody in that war was just pure cannon fodder. It was nuts. By the time the U.S. got into it, it had evolved into a totally different animal.
And it started with the Archduke getting assassinated.
Well, the guy that shot the Archduke, Prince of Paul, nobody realizes that that is the most important man, not only in the 20th century, but going into the 21st century. This guy changed the entire landscape of the world. Countries that were countries aren't countries anymore. Everything changed, and it obviously set the set for World War II. Like, this guy, he changed that one shot. Those several shots that got him, got the Archduke, and he got his wife, changed everything for well over 100 years.
But after that, he probably didn't have a really good day.
Princep Gervali, that's his name. Oh, just crazy. If you get a chance to listen to Dan Carlin's Hardcore History, listen to it all. It's hands down the best written podcast ever made.
Yeah, I know that he's very thorough with all the information that gets presented on this podcast, too.
It's crazy. So you ask me if I'm kind of a historian. He doesn't even consider himself a historian. So me, no, I'm an idiot. I'm not even close.
He could tell you about the great folder stealing incident, though.
Exactly. So what do you listen to? What's your favorite podcast?
I listen to a whole bunch of different ones, really. I like ones that are informational as well. Nothing usually too long. I think the longest podcast I listen to gets to about an hour and a half. Beyond that, I think my attention starts to drift. Yeah, I like all different stuff. I like some of the science podcasts with, like, Neil deGrasse Tyson, Daniel Jorge Explain the Universe. I like Stuff You Should Know. I like,
oh, you like science. Conan O'Brien. You're like you're a big science guy, huh?
Yeah, I like those. Yeah, other different things. There's interviews that I have with two scientists that have been on my show twice. It's called Just Nah Science. And what they do is they debunk the science theories that are posted on Twitter. You know, all the nonsense that you hear, and they really kind of give you the facts and explain it nice and easily. Really great people, too.
I just posted something on Facebook the other day. I reposted it. It was like, hey, would you do us a favor and can look it up before you repost it? And somebody posted back, not a chance. Like, literally, you're like two clicks away. You got Google. You're two clicks away from finding the truth. Nope. Not going to do it.
This will help us seamlessly segue into the portion of the show that we call Shameless Self-Promotion.
Shameless Self-Promotion.
This is where you can let everybody know where they can catch you.
Is this where I talk about you?
Oh, you can talk about you.
Oh, I can do that too.
Yes, plug your show. Plug whatever you want to plug. Plug a light bulb. Plug a socket.
Okay. My show is called My Worst Holiday, and you can find it on all the platforms. And as always, now, Jim, do you have a Patreon?
I do not.
You do not? Okay. Well, everybody out there, even though he doesn't have a Patreon, find out how you can send this guy some money. If you like what he's doing, send him $1 an episode. It's not going to cost you that much. Send him a little bit of loot. This stuff is fun, but it's not cheap. So just like me, I've got a Patreon. It's called My Worst Holiday at Patreon. You can find me on all platforms. I'm on Anchor. I'm on iTunes, Stitcher, iHeartRadio. I'm a little bit of everywhere. And if you want to laugh, if you want to giggle, depending on how crude you like your humor, and we're pretty crude, do us a favor. Check us out. I have myworstholiday.com. You can contact me at myworstholiday@gmail.com. Yeah, there we go, brother. Oh, I'm part of the Realm of the Mist. I'm part of the Realm of the Mist podcast network and the Fourth Hand podcast network.
So we've been talking to former folder thief, Mark. And his podcast, again, is called My Worst Holiday. Make sure you give it a listen and check it out and drop him a line. Mark, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Jim, thank you so much for having me, man. I really, really appreciate it. You'll have to come up with a story and come on my a couple stories and come on my show sometime.
Well, I'm not that interesting, so maybe I'll have to lie.
All right, brother. Well, you're welcome anytime, anyway.
And now it's time for Sherpa suggestions.
Since we had such a mix of guests this week, and they were recommending such a mix of podcasts, I figured let's repeat those suggestions for this week's Sherpa suggestions. Ooh, I'm getting a little poetic here. I don't know. That's about the closest I'm going to be to poetic. Why don't we get started? And some of these shows we've mentioned before as Sherpa suggestions, but they're worth another mention. So here we are. We have The Joe Rogan Experience, The Tim Ferriss Show, Underdog Empowerment, 365 Driven, The Lapsed Fan, Ham and Spam Retro Review, Dumb People Town with the Sklar Brothers, Dan Carlin's Hardcore History, The History of World War II, and Forgotten History. You know, I'm thinking maybe I should listen to Forgotten History. Maybe I can figure out what I did with my car keys. Thanks a lot for coming down to the Sherpa Chalet and listening to this show, Too Many Podcasts. And a special thanks to all three of my guests here, John Molyneux, Mark Beer, and Mark Holiday. Be sure to check out their podcasts, too, if you are so inclined to. And I'm always here. And if you want to know what's going on with the show and about upcoming interviews, follow me on social media, Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. You just need the word Sherpalution, and you can hear everything that's going on with the show. And if I make appearances on the show, I put links on there and just tell you about all the little things that go on the show. It's really nice. I like it. Makes me happy. I don't know about you. Anyway, if you want to hear more episodes of the show, you can hear me on your favorite podcast app, like maybe the one that you are listening to now. And when you hear those episodes, if you could, please rate and review them on either Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, or Stitcher.com. Let everybody know about the Sherpalution and say, hey, come on down and check this show out. And also, you can hear this show on my website, Sherpalution.com. You can hear everything from the beginning, back when I was a little baby Sherpa. I've gotten so much older since then. Okay, Mr. Bruce, since I'm getting old, I'll leave it to you, sir, to escort everyone to the door. Till next time, have a great week, and viva la Sherpalution.
Thanks for listening to Too Many Podcasts. Please disperse. You can go home now. I said you can go home now. Viva la Sherpalition. Viva la Sherpalition. Oh. Yell, come back now, you hear?